Look with me in Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Luke chapter 17. Did I say 7? I'm sorry. I did say 17. Okay. Luke 17:10. I want to read Matthew 25:30 also, but we'll just read them one at a time here. The unprofitable servant. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And in Matthew 25:30 says this, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So unprofitable. Well, we know what that is when it comes to money. But he's talking about the kingdom of God here. Unprofitable means useless. It means bringing no profit. Unprofitable means you didn't do me any good. You didn't gain a thing for me. Yeah, I would have been as well off I'd have been just as well off if I'd have never known you, never seen you, never been involved with you. I mean, if it wouldn't have made any difference in everything if you'd have never existed. That's an unprofitable servant. See, we're supposed to make a difference. And, you know, like this morning we talked about, it's not really up to me outside of my yielding myself to God and giving up on my own resources, strength, and everything else. And God can use me if I'll do that. He can use you if you'll do that. But it means bringing no profit. It means producing no gain beyond the labor. Breaking even. Unprofitable is breaking even. Didn't really lose, but you didn't gain anything. You just broke even. So why did I even have you in the first place? It means producing no improvement or advantage, serving no purpose. Profitable means easily used and useful. All right, now God's kingdom is about love. It's not about service. Let me get that out here right on the beginning here. What I'm saying may be taken wrong by some people. They may think that I'm speaking contrary to the truth, but it is the truth. God's kingdom is not about service. It's not about our service to God. We've heard that a lot. We've had that stressed to us a lot. But the Bible's very plain about it, that is not really what the kingdom of God is about. It's about love. It's about loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. That's a different motive than service. Serving God out of duty. The most common message that's intended to motivate today is service, out of duty and not out of love. I've heard sermons on duty, duty, duty. It's your duty. Do your duty. I remember one especially, and that was the whole message was, you know, it was just mashing you down, pressing you down about your duty, your obligation, your duty. It's your duty to do this. It's your duty to do this. It's your duty to do everything that everybody thinks is associated with religion, like coming to church and giving and running a bus route and going soul winning and all that. You know, that's the string that's always been given and that I've been around in church, Baptist churches. The kind of message is useful in, you know, when you got that kind of a message and that kind of a, what am I trying to say? When you're trying to motivate people and that kind of a message, well, it works if you're running a business. It works if you're pushing people to sell stuff, Gary. And that's the way most churches, if you want to call them that, have been built in this generation. They've been herded like cattle, like animals, with a whip behind them. Go, do, work. Come on. You ain't even saved if you don't do this. You can't be saved if you don't do that. And then say, we don't believe in works for salvation. They'll bring that up right real quick. But that kind of a message might be useful in building a business or a what they call a church, but it's not God's message. And again, let me just back up to what I said this morning. You know, just because you call it a church, if God didn't build it, it's not really a church. Amen. They labor in vain that build it. Except God build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That means it ain't worth nothing. It's like the unprofitable servant. Worthless. And so a church, you call it a church, and it's been built with this. Built by forcing people to serve, shaming them to serve, pressuring them to serve, giving them ultimatums to you. It's your duty. You got to. You better. You can't have a real church that belongs to God with that kind of a message, with that kind of a motivation. That's not the kingdom of God. Jesus never did that. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He doesn't save us to make us into slaves. So the kingdom of God is not about service. God didn't save us so that we could serve Him. Now, I do believe that you will serve Him if you're saved. How can you want to do anything else? You'll want to be at His service. But it's not a forced thing, you know? Well, let me add a little bit more here. The goal of most motivational preaching is to get people to produce something that the church or the preacher can brag about and boast about. Now, that's the goal of most motivational preaching. Hey, I've been around long enough to see this and to see how everything works. I know how it works. I know what they're thinking because they've told me. I've read it in their books and they've told it right to my face. They plan their sermons. You know, I know one of the greatest well-known preachers in the country. He said that he only had about 20 things that he preached on, and he just went around them in circuits. You know, he'd just start again and preach the same things over 20 times. And it was the same. And all that his preaching was about was to herd the people, you know, to control the herd and keep them producing. He didn't put it that way. I did, because that's really the way it is. Everything he did was like psychological. It was messing with your mind. It was like guiding you in your thinking to make you feel like you wasn't doing enough and you needed to do some more. There's different things, you know, some of it's work, like, you know, all the big push over bus routes and everything that was, and I'm not against bus routes. That was one of the most profitable, best things we ever did, you know. I really feel that way because you got to really get acquainted with the people on the bus route, and you had a relationship with them, and you built something there that lasted. Because we still got, you know, I preached a funeral here a few months ago, and it was for one of the kids on the bus route 40 years ago. And, you know, that's worthwhile. I'm not downing that. But I'm just saying that this method of trying to build churches by trying to motivate people to do more. I don't know. Maybe I don't do it enough, but I don't believe that's the way to do it. You know, I just think that you and everybody else that sits in a church pew ought to love God enough and care enough about the souls of people, and you ought to care enough about the kingdom of God to try to get people to come to church and to witness when you're out there to people and to care about them and to try to have some kind of a connection with them where you can have some influence on their life toward God. I just think I think that ought to be a natural thing if God has saved your soul. I think it'll be a natural thing if God saved your soul and you're feeding on the Word of God and you're living for God at all. I think that you'd be concerned about that. And you wouldn't have to come to church and be beat over the head with the Bible and shamed for not doing nothing and have it demanded of you to do more. I've known preachers, I've known missionaries who made the people fill out papers every week, every Sunday, on how many people they had witnessed to and how many people they had won to the Lord. And I am not making that up. And I'm not exaggerating. They even paid them so much money for every person that they led through the sinner's prayer. Now, if you think that's a good deal, God have mercy on you. What's the matter with you? I just don't believe you build a church that way. Now, you can build a work. You can build something. You can call it a church, and then you can brag about how many people you got there. But, buddy, the price to pay for that bragging rights is going to be very steep when you face God. Right. Making merchandise of the souls of men. I can't think of anything more wicked and evil. So, the kingdom of God is not a plantation. It's not a factory where everybody's supposed to stay at their station and keep a stamping them things out. That's not what this is about. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get across to you. We're talking about an unprofitable servant. Now, how do you be profitable if you don't do something? Well, you're supposed to be at God's disposal. That's the key thing here. You know, what did I say this morning? What did I tell you about Jesus and what he said in John chapter 15? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, ye can do nothing. How are you going to be a profitable servant? Well, you're going to have to walk with God. You're going to have to know him and walk with him and live for him and love him, and you'll be a profitable servant. If that's all really true. Now, you can just be a churchgoer, and you can be a religious person, and you can just barely be on the inside of the fellowship. But that ain't going to make you a profitable servant. You're going to be an unprofitable servant if you are a servant. And what did he say is going to happen to the unprofitable servant? He's going to be cast into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That sounds real familiar with some other descriptions I've heard of that same place. What is that place? Hell. It's a lake of fire. I mean, it's eternity in, you know, being damned for eternity. That ain't what you want. I mean, everybody thinks they can. Nowadays, we've got this idea that you can just play with it. You can just, you know, keep one foot in and one foot out. You can just come to church and say amen and greet everybody and give a few dollars and man, you're good. Going to heaven when you die. A lot of people are going to be in for a surprise. I mean, you're either in or you're not in. This thing is either, it's pretty black and white. You're either God's servant or you're not. Well, we're not slaves that must be driven and beaten and forced to produce. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I know you know, these kids, a lot of you don't know what I'm talking about. But I do know what I'm talking about. I've been in churches where it's just like that. What did the preacher say you told me about? Win them, wet them, and work them. That was his motto. Yep. And he learned that in Bible school. Where they taught all kinds of other preachers the same thing. Win them, wet them, and work them. You get them to say that sinner's prayer, you baptize them, and then put them to work. Put them to work on the plantation. Put them to work in the factory here. We got a factory, and this thing is a machine that keeps working, and we're producing. Producing what? No, it's just a self-perpetuating, gobbling up everything for no good and for all bad. God doesn't think of the kingdom of heaven as a business he's running. I've heard that through the years, you know, this the greatest business on earth, and it's like a business. I've heard it being preached as like a business and thought of, ought to be thought of as running a business. A church is not a business. We're not in this. I mean, our goals should have nothing to do with success or failure. I mean, we don't want to fail as a church. Well, of course not. But if we design it so that we don't, then I refer you back to this morning's message again. If we do it in our strength and our wisdom and our intellect and our power, then it is not God who did it. It's us. It's our work. And it's no profit to God. Oh my. So God doesn't think of it as a business. Get that out of your mind. He doesn't think of this. Duty is not a good enough motive for a relationship with God. Duty. Do you want your wife to stay with you, any of you guys, just because it's her duty to? I mean, is that good enough for you? That she has no other reason for staying with you other than, I just have to. I said, yes, and I married you, so it's my duty, so I'll do it. And I know, but I'm not happy. Would that be good enough for you?
No.
What about your children? What if they just said, well, you know, I guess you're my father, but I hate you, and I'll stay just as long as I have to. Then I'm out of here. It may work to keep a business or an organization like the church, like a church, given for a while, going for a while, working for a while, but it doesn't work to keep a relationship going. You don't keep a relationship going out of duty. There has to be love. I mean, if there's no love, it's not going to last. Now, you may just, you know, drag yourself through it. But it ain't going to be pleasant, and it ain't going to be profitable whatsoever. It may sustain the outward appearance of the relationship, just doing your duty. Keep on going to work, mister. Keep on providing a living, but no love there. No relationship there. Same with the wife. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do on the outward appearance. So everybody thinks everything's okay. Is that good enough for you? Does that make for a happy home? Does that make for good children? Does that make for a bright future? No, sir. It just paints it all black. A true relationship doesn't survive based on duty. Doing is not what God desires from us. Now, faith works. You know, I'm not contradicting what we believe and know that the Bible teaches. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you can't replace love and faith with works and duty. The just shall walk by faith, not duty. We serve Him because we love Him. We don't serve Him because, well, He saved me and I got to. I owe Him a great debt. Well, that's true. But that's not God's motive for us serving Him. He doesn't want that. Want it like that. You know, what if your wife said, well, I don't love you, but I'm just stuck with you. I mean, you know, I married you a long time ago, and where else have I got to go? So here I am. I'll be here. But man, that ain't going to give you no joy, is it? You think that's going to work that way? Of course not. Our relationship with God is likened to a husband and a wife. He uses it over and over and over throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. God's people, He considers them His wife and Him her husband. That's how the relationship with God is likened. And He did that so we can understand just a little bit of His heart. What He wants, what He thinks, what He expects of us, what He desires of us. Because we know what we expect and desire of a wife. You women know what you expect and desire of a husband. He also likens the relationship to a father and his children. He's our heavenly Father. Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We're to think of God as our Father. Only an ungodly person thinks of his wife or children as his servants. Think of that. What kind of a person thinks of his wife and his children as his servants? I've known some like that. Wretched people. I've known some preachers like that. Been in their homes and watched them act like that toward their wife and their children. And it just, it really don't sit well with me. It don't sit well with anybody. Because everybody that's got any kind of conscience, any kind of soul, knows that that ain't right. And it ain't supposed to be that way. And it's a miserable home. And always it blows up into a disaster when the kids get a little bigger. Same way with a wife. I've known some where the wife thinks everybody's her servant. The husband, the children are all her servants. And that don't work out either. It's just not that way. Only an ungodly person weighs the value of others by what they can do for him. You hear me? That's an ungodly person who just looks at everybody and thinks and weighs their value by whatever they can do for me. How they treat me. How well they serve me. That ain't godliness. That's ungodliness. So the relationship with God is not based on this thing of service. I hope that's understandable to you. A wife and children are to love. And the only thing that will satisfy a husband and a father is when they love him back. That's all the reward that you really get in life. Have you ever considered that? I mentioned this morning reading some things that Steve Jobs, the Apple guy, you know, one that made the Macs and the iPhones and all that stuff, father of all that. He died with cancer when he was 54, 56 years old. I was reading some things he said, but that was one of the things he said. Man, if you've got somebody who loves you and who you love, that's all there is to life. Have billions of dollars. And he said, wealth is just something that's a fact of life. He said, I've just got accustomed to it. It means nothing. It's meaningless. And it's absolutely worthless when you come to the end of your life. You know, what matters is just like we was talking today, you know, listening to Brother Pete's family and everybody else that knew him. There's your reward. There's what makes life worth living. Profitable? Oh, yeah. Very much so. Mm-hmm. And where did that come from? Service? No, it came from faithfulness and love. Faithfulness and love. Almost all of the doing is done for the eyes and ears of men and not for God anyway. I mean, I've seen that and I've realized that and I've done it myself. Done a lot of things to impress, to please other people. Not really God. Try to say I was doing it for God, but really it was to impress people. That ain't going nowhere with God. Most of the doing that we do on purpose, that we do out of duty, that we do because somebody said you got to do it, it's just, you know, it's done for others and not for God. And God's a jealous God. Remember that? That does not sit well with Him. If your wife will do anything for anybody, but she won't do nothing hardly for you, that don't sit well with you, does it? If she ain't got nothing to say but good about everybody but you, that don't sit well with you either, does it? And it works just the same the other way around. Mm-hmm. I've known men that call every woman and waitress and every girl they see everywhere sweetheart and honey and all that, and they won't call her wife honey or sweetheart. You ever know anybody like that? Well, you think about that. Huh? That don't strike you real well, does it? All right. God desires our love, not just our service. You know, sometimes she'll make something I like. I mean, really, she does that all the time, on purpose. Looks for things that I like to make for me. Well, now, I like that. But I don't just stay with her because of that. I mean, you know, if all I ever got was like that chicken we had the other day, I still wouldn't leave you. Well, y'all get it? It's, you know, when somebody who loves you does something to please you, you don't consider it service. You don't consider it their duty. You don't just say, well, thank you for doing your duty. Do you? I mean, come on. I mean, think with me. What do you think? I mean, you appreciate it because they thought of you, because they want to please you, because they love you. What does it make you feel toward them? It makes you feel love toward them and more patience. And it makes you want to do something for them. Well, just understand that it works the same way with God. God's well pleased when we do things to please Him, do things to honor Him. When we're careful about not dishonoring Him, that's pleasing to God. You know, it speaks and says this, that we're His friend. That we love Him. You know, it helps God to have faith in us. Yes. If you can get a hold of that. Yes. We can trust God, but can He trust you? Yeah. I mean, we can bank on Him keeping His word. Can He bank on you keeping your word? We can bank on the fact that God's always going to do us right. And He's going to do us good. Can He bank on you doing the same thing for Him? That you'll always stand for Him? That you'll always do right by Him? Well, that's not service, you see. That's love. That's a product of love. Not, well, what does it say? Thou shalt not. Now, get them words right now, because I'm just going to do just what it says. Nah. That ain't how it works. God desires our love, not our service. The first and great commandment, the one on which all the law and prophets are built upon, Jesus said, is this right here, Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Might has to do with your strength, with your whatever you do, the things you do. You love Him with all your mind, all your heart, all your strength. That's what God said. That's the great commandment. And our service to Him is a result of our love for Him. And any service that is done from any other motive is just not acceptable to Him. Now, you know, you get married and you're young and you go through all this process of thrashing all of this out. And a lot of your life you spend doing your duty. Or trying to do your duty, or fighting over your duty, or trying to get out of your duty, neglecting your duty. Yeah? But if you weather the storm long enough, you'll finally come to a place where you quit all of that and you just do what you do out of love for one another and for your family. Luke 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What's that about drawing nigh to God? Well, there you go right there. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. That's what he's saying right there too. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are to keep us right and holy and suitable for God, you know. Workable by it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now he's not talking about doing something. He's saying doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, what is the will of God? We talked about that not too long ago. What is the will of God? You can study your Bible and you can find out different things. It is certainly the will of God. And it's not about building great works to impress men. It's not about success that can be measured with worldly yardsticks and gauges. No. You don't gauge the success of a life, a work of God, by the outward things that you can see. The numbers, the success, the money made, and all of that. I seen a chart the other day. It was like 9 or 12 of these televangelists and all, and how many millions of dollars they're each one worth. They're all worth many. They're richer than Jed Clampett ever was. They got way more than he ever had. I'm not kidding. They're successful. Well, in earthly standards, by earthly standards they are. They got private jets. Mansions to live in, multiple mansions. People just fall all over themselves to give them money. And, you know, by earthly standards, they got her made, boy. They don't have a thing to worry about. They have fleeced the sheep real well. But when all's said and done, what do you think it's going to be like when God settles the books? When he calls to account everybody and he reckons all of the accounts. Where do you reckon they're going to be then? Well, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. Right there's where in the same chapter 7 of Matthew, where he says that many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? We've cast out devils. We've done all this in thy name. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Oh, they'd done a lot of stuff. They thought they were real good servants of God because of all this that they had produced. And Jesus called it iniquity. John 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he that doeth the will of my Father, that's the will of the Father. That's what you ought to be concerned about then. It's what I ought to be concerned about. What? That everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. We ought to care about people coming to know the Lord. So we ought to represent him real well. We shouldn't just learn the Romans Road and get us a handful of tracts and go out there and try to make disciples. Make converts. They've got to know Jesus. They've got to be brought to where they can see Jesus. And how are they going to do that? It's going to take more than a track, and it's going to take more than a Romans Road presentation of the points of the Romans Road. Ought to pass out tracts. I'm not against that. But I'm just saying that's not the end of it. That's not all of it. There's more to do than just that. First John chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 23, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should go soul winning every week, and that we should spend all of our time and every effort we can to, that we should give all of our money. No. Here it is. This is what what John said in 1 John here. That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. What could be accomplished for the kingdom of God? How many souls might be won? And what might we see God really do if the people of the church just love one another and obey God and live for him, and quit trying to outdo one another, and quit trying to trip one another up? I know this is strange to you, but back 40 years ago, this building right here, there was a big church here. Lots of people coming here. There were about four other churches in this area that were independent Baptist churches. They all fellowshipped together. If one had a meeting, all the rest of them would come support the meeting. It was that way with all of them. They would, you know, preach for one another. And, you know, when I started preaching, this was the first place I preached. They called me right away and said, "Won't you come over and preach for us? You're going to preach. We want to hear you." You know how it is now? Nobody will have anything to do with anybody else. They won't come and support your meeting. Last fall, I sent out 11 letters to the churches around here, and not one person came from any of them. That's right. None of them will support each other anymore. They don't care. Now, what does that say to the lost out there? What does that say to the community around? It says, well, they're just all about themselves. They don't care about nothing, nobody else. This is just a thing they're doing. The will of God is that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So are y'all understanding here, keeping his commandments and doing your duty is really, you know, there's a difference here I'm trying to sort out. To put your hand to something and do things, substitute things for keeping the commandments of God. The commandments of God are about what you are more than they are about what you do. Can you understand that? That I'm trying to sort that out there. I've known people that just work themselves to death until they burn out. That's the term that's used. In church work, just burn out. Just get so sick and tired of it and wore out that they just give up and run. That's working out a duty. That'll make you an unprofitable servant. And I've known people that do that and they're not right with God. Their heart's not right. Their attitude's not right. You know, if you're doing it under a burden, I mean, if it's a burden to you and it's just, you don't want to do it, but you just got to do it, and I'm just doing it because I got to and all that, oh, woe unto you. You're supposed to serve the Lord with joy and gladness, yes, that I get to do something. That's the attitude. That's the real attitude. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be funny here. That is really the way it is. And if you're not serving God with a glad heart, you're not serving God. You know, why would you make something special that I like to eat, for example? Why? Well, because she wants to make me happy. Well, I guess I'll do it, but I sure don't want to. I got so much to do, and you want me to do this too? Nah, I don't want it. If that's the way it is, I don't want it. Don't you bother yourself with it. Well, you think God's any different than that when it comes to us and our service to Him? The things we do for Him? Nope, He's not. Let me hurry up. It's what you are and not what you do that matters. If you are what you should be, then you will do what you should do. But doing without being what you should be makes you an unprofitable servant. All the good works of people that are done out of duty alone will be burned up. I mean, that just ain't going to go nowhere. Not going to matter. It also makes you a hypocrite to do that. To be doing what you think you need to be doing without being what you're supposed to be. You're a hypocrite. You're putting on. You're faking. You're pretending. You're trying to make people believe that you are something that you're really not. It don't really do no good to try to force people to be in church, to shame them into being in church. I mean, if they don't want to be here, no amount of that kind of stuff is going to work with them. If they don't love God and love the people at church enough to even want to be there, you're wasting your time trying to bribe them, trying to change things at church to suit them, to make it more pleasant for them, to draw them with all of that stuff. You're wasting your time. Best thing to do is just stay faithful to the Word of God and keep doing what we know the Bible tells us to do. And that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. And if that ain't good enough for somebody, there ain't nothing else for them. I'm telling you. I've thought about it a lot. I think maybe you don't think that I think about it. With our small number and all of this here, and most of it family, yeah. You think I don't think about it? You think I don't wonder if we shouldn't do something? We ought to change things up around here? And every time I do, I go down that road and I just, there's just something that just, it just pushes me back. You know, is that what we're going to resort to now? Are we going to resort to food and fun and gimmicks and play and entertainment to try to get people to come to church? Now, you really think that's going to be profitable to the kingdom of God and to the souls of men? And you think it's going to help our children here? No. That ain't the way it works, folks. It ain't the way it worked 200 years ago, 400 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. It didn't work that way in the church. They didn't do it that way. And the ones that did, they died out and perished away and don't exist anymore. That ain't how you build a church. You build a church by loving God and being faithful to God and loving one another. That's how you build a church. And walk in holiness and doing what's right. And believe in the Word of God. Amen. There was a time in my life when if somebody would have preached, people would come to listen. Not anymore. Everything's flipped upside down the other way. Now, I've come to realize that. I know that's the way it is. People don't want to hear this. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want. All they want is to be patted on the back and affirmed in their sinful, worldly, carnal living. And it just ain't going to go anything else. The church is in a terrible state. You know, I read a lot and I've known a lot of through the years all these. You know, I can tell you about several churches in the country that I know of and been at where they did. They had a big work going, and the preacher preached. He did. And strict, oh my, you think I preach strict and rub you? You should have heard some of them. And they had great crowds that come, but that was in another time. It's not our time.
Now, our time is different. And we're going to have to realize that, and you're going to have to realize that. You guys are going to have to raise these little ones in a different world. I read the other day, it said, you said that you can't raise your children the same way we raised you because the world we raised you in doesn't exist anymore. And that's true. The foundation's all gone. I mean, everybody's into this idolatry. And that's exactly what it is. It's full-blown idolatry. And if we're going to be profitable servants, we're going to have to stay by the stuff.
That's right.
And we're going to have to believe God and live for Him. And forget about trying to do something, to make something, to impress other people. Or to even to impress God. We don't have to impress God. Hear me. All we've got to do and all God expects of us is for us to love Him and be faithful to Him and not go whoring after the world. Now that's what He wants. And I guarantee you, God will reward that. Others may mock and scoff and ridicule, but there's a day coming when they're going to be sorry they did that. There's a day coming when God's going to reveal. And that's what we read about in Romans 8 there, the glorious. The whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. And everybody's waiting. The people of God are waiting for the glorious manifestation of the sons of God. The day when God reveals who's really His. Who's really the profitable servants. And who are the unprofitable servants. And they're going to be removed. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That's in Luke 10, verses 41 and 42. People who are serving out of duty will be burdened and distracted and discontented and miserable, like Martha. She was not happy. She was blaming Mary and everybody else. She was charged. She was burdened with all of the work that had to be done. And she was having to do it. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are burdened. You're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Where was Mary? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His words. There'll be no peace. There'll be no rest and joy in serving God if you're just doing it out of duty. And if you're trying to please Him with your busy hands and your busy feet and your many, many deeds that you're doing to show Him how eager you are to please Him with that kind of stuff, no. They'll not feel unity with the brethren, but will feel used by them and taken advantage of, just like Martha. She said, nobody's helping me. Mary, my sister, she won't help me. Don't you see I'm having to do all this by myself? Never been in a church where everybody helped. Every church I've ever been in, there's just a few people does everything. They clean the toilets, they fix them, if anybody's got to get on the roof or under the floor, same people every time. Everybody else just comes and throws stuff on the floor and trashes everything and leaves. If there's any mess, any trouble, any conflicts, it's the same people that have to deal with everything. And they're usually not the ones complaining about it. They just do it. Nobody knows. Luke 10:39. She had a sister named called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. All right, now we rest in God, and the Lord commended her and said, this is what I really want. This is most important. Who cares about the food and the dishes and the table and all of that? Who cares? This is more important.
that you hear what I got to say. We rest in the Lord and allow him to use us as he sees fit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. All right? We're an instrument in his hand, and that's the only way we can be profitable to the Lord. We must be useful to him and to his kingdom and to his purposes. We got to be a vessel that he can use. What is a vessel? A container. It's something that you pour something in or you put it in. A vessel carries something in it or it's empty. Well, you can't put anything in a vessel if it's full. It's got to be empty. So we are an empty vessel. There's nothing that I can do to substitute or to replace what God can do if he fills me and uses me. I hope you get that. We must be useful to him. We must be available to him so he can use us as he sees fit. Are you available? Are you available to God? Are you so busy you can't be available? Is your mind so occupied with everything else or anything else that you just ain't available? If God knocked, would you hear? Would you hear him knocking? We got a beeper on our driveway so we can tell if somebody comes up the hill. Because like if she's downstairs, she can't hear. If she's upstairs, she has a hard time a lot of times. But I mean, you know, got a beeper. So, and everybody knows it, all these little kids, I mean, that beeper goes beep, 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 and here they go running to the couch, jump up and win and see who it is. But they know somebody's coming. If the Lord came, would you even be aware that he needed you? That he had an opportunity for you here? You got to be available. All that we do should be motivated by love for God. I don't know how to stress that enough. I don't do anything I do. I don't refuse to or avoid anything that I avoid for any other reason but because I love God and I want to do what's pleasing to God. I want to be what's pleasing to God. I really, really don't care what other religious people think. You know, I've got past that. Some people, most people don't ever get past that. They really do care. They can't stand it if somebody thinks they're a failure. Or if somebody else thinks they're stupid, they can't take it. Can't take that slander from other people. The more mature you get in the Lord, you'll understand that a little better. We've been reading this book by Isaac Watts. I've mentioned it a few times. And it was the same back in his day as it is now. There were some of the people that we've read after we think highly of, but they were harsh critics of his. I mean, they really slandered him and said terribly ugly things about him because he wrote hymns. In Isaac Watts' day, and also in Charles, that was contemporary. Charles Wesley was somewhat of a contemporary. They crossed over a little bit, but they wrote hymns for the church. And in that time, it was sort of controversial like the contemporary stuff is now. But we finished that book last night, didn't we? And the last things that were said really made it clear. Isaac Watts didn't believe that you ought to use passion and emotion to stir people. He believed truth ought to be the reason for the passion and emotion. You preach the truth to them. And so that was the difference. But I told her, I said, we were talking about it. How could, George MacDonald who said terrible things about him. Terrible things. And I said, how could he do that? How could he think that way? I told her, I said, well, it was back then it's just like it is now. People talk and people gossip and they carry tales. And most people believe what they hear first. Yes.
And that's whose side they're on. And it, nothing ever changes it. They just believe what they believe. I realize that about myself. You know, there's people, it's like I've told you before, I've never, to this day, nobody has ever came to me from any of these other churches where I've been, or people I've been associated with, nobody's ever came to me and said, Brother Mike, what do you believe? Nobody's ever asked me. You know, nobody's ever come and said, you know, somebody said this about you, that you believe this. Is this really true? Nobody's ever done it. Not one time. But they all absolutely know what I believe. Yes, sir. They tell each other. Well, ain't nothing I can do about that. God judge between me and thee. And that's where you got to come to. And you got to leave it there. Let it there. I can't. It's just what we talked about this morning. I can't do nothing. I can't change. Gary, you talking about debating is worthless. I mean, it's a waste of time. It's a losing thing for the kingdom of God when you try to debate things with people. Ain't no debating. Ain't going to straighten them out. So we got to be useful. We got to be available. We got to... All we do should be motivated by love for God, and all that we do should be done from the heart as to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily from the heart as to the Lord and not unto men. Bible gives several examples of that. If you loan somebody money, you better just count it as given. If somebody wrongs you, why would you not let yourself be defrauded? Rather than fight for what's yours. No, when you give something to somebody, you give it to the Lord, not to them. That's the way you got to look at it. If somebody steals something from you, it's like they stole it from the Lord. Now, you can take that to the bank. But God looks at it the same way. What we do heartily as unto the Lord. God looks at it the same way with us. You know, you touch one of these that believe in Him, God takes great offense at what people do to mistreat His children that love Him. So there's no need for us to worry about that stuff, see? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. He that giveth to the poor, what does it say? Lendeth to the Lord, and He will repay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. I'm just about done. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, what I'm preaching to you tonight is not putting a heavy burden upon you, except for just to turn from your sinful ways and your selfish ways and love God and serve Him out of love. And treat Him like somebody you love instead of somebody you're scared of and it's going to beat you if you don't do it and demanding so much from you. Quit treating Him like Pharaoh and treat Him like God. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And if we've been unprofitable in the past, we can still be profitable to the Lord in the future. We can give up on, we can change that. Verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. See, Paul said that. He said, forgive him, you know, take him in. In the past, he ain't been no good, ain't been worth nothing, but he is now. So see, you can change that. If you've been serving God out of duty and just doing it because you had to, hey, stop doing that. Start serving Him because you love Him. And what you do, do as unto the Lord, heartily as to the Lord. Makes all the difference. You know, you give to somebody, you do something kind for somebody, if you'll just consider that to the Lord, make it a lot easier for you. be a lot more rewarding for you. All right, stand with me and we'll have a word of prayer and we'll go home. Lord, we want to thank you for the good Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for the good word of God. Thank you for the truth that we preached here tonight that sets us free, makes us free. We are not bond slaves or bond servants. Lord, we're your sons and your daughters. And you treat us like that. And Lord, we're not in this like the children of Israel were in Egypt, where it was hard bondage and taskmasters that made their life miserable. This is not our relationship with thee. It's not our life with thee. Please help us, Lord, to understand that tonight. Pray you to help everybody to understand that we serve you because we love you. And what we do to please you because we love you. And it's not because we feel like we're forced to it, or we feel like we're obligated, or we any other reason. Lord, help us tonight to understand this and to start living this way and start in our dealings with other people as unto the Lord with everything we do. Lord, go with us now. Please bless through the week and guide and direct our lives. Lord, be of these in need tonight. Please help them in Jesus' name. Amen.